while holding the lettuce. I was astonished.
Gross.
Well, it's hard to believe, too, to be on a plane and people smoking.
Yeah, that's,
Can you imagine?
I remember that very clearly.
Oh, my gosh. Keep your stories coming in. You can text us at 218-326-1234. It's a sports-like day, of course. Coming up in an hour, we'll be talking high school soccer. We're in the playoffs mode, and we'll be talking about the Minnesota Loons. And then the sports page, which WNBA finals start tonight. I'm not sure that my broken heart can handle it, but I might watch it. And there's just a lot to talk about in all the sports. So stay tuned. We've got a great day ahead. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Another person weighing in, Trisha, back with us, saying there was definitely smoking in grocery stores in Grand Rapids. I remember the ashtrays right at the registers.
Oh, my gosh.
And the checkout ladies having their cigarettes while working. Huh. You don't remember that, huh?
Well, I just kind of did, but I wasn't sure. And what did you do with your ashes when you're shopping? Flick them on the floor?
Yeah.
Put them in your pant cuff?
I don't know.
That's really scary stuff.
We heard from Jen, who said, who knew Bauer was big on the pig?
I was. I love the pig.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. 10 new cases of measles have been confirmed in Minnesota since Monday, all in the Twin Cities metro area. The Minnesota Department of Health announced its findings Wednesday, noting that the new cases can all be tied to domestic or international travel and are among unvaccinated people. This brings the total number of cases confirmed in the state this year to 18. Health officials are urging families to make sure they are up to date on their immunizations, especially ahead of travel. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has confirmed more than 1,500 measles cases in the U.S. this year, the highest number since 1992. There have also been 3 confirmed deaths. The health department emphasizes that the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine is very effective, and decades of data also show that it is safe. Minnesota's state budget director says most state programs that rely on federal funding have enough money to mitigate the impact of a federal shutdown in the short term. The Minnesota Reformer reported on a news conference on Thursday addressing the shutdown. But Anna Mingi says that a prolonged shutdown lasting several weeks would have serious consequences for programs like SNAP and WIC, which use mostly federal dollars to provide food assistance to families in need. The federal shutdown began Wednesday, and there's no end in sight. Federal employees are facing furloughs, job reassignments, work without pay, and the threat of being fired. Mingi says food benefits look to be funded through the month of October, but money could run out if the shutdown extends into November. The federal government is expected to continue sending Social Security checks and making Medicaid and Medicare payments during the shutdown. The director of the Federal Office of Management and Budget, Russ Vogt, says the Trump administration is canceling funding for more than 220 Green New Deal projects in blue states, including in Minnesota. When diving into prison population data, men are often the focus. But researchers are gathering information on troubling statistics for women, with Minnesota cited in a new report. The Prison Policy Initiative says around the world, the number of imprisoned women has grown by almost 60% since 2000, with the U.S. factoring heavily in that number. Minnesota is below the national rate and most other states, but it still outpaces most of America's closest international allies. The Policy Initiative's Wanda Bertram says men are still incarcerated at higher rates, but recent declines show promise. She says it's a different situation for women right now.
The criminalization of essentially addiction, of mental illness, and of poverty has driven women's incarceration in a way that is distinct from what has happened for men.
She's referring to prosecutions of low-level offenses such as petty theft. Minnesota's incarceration rate for women is 53 inmates per 100,000 people. In 2021, the state adopted a law that places pregnant and postpartum inmates into alternative housing with their newborns for up to a year. Other research has noted forced separation is one of many harmful effects that prevent women from staying out of prison. Bertram says on the surface, overall incarceration numbers for women appear minor, But she says the recent trends suggest that elected officials can't overlook what's happening. A consistent lack of access to diversion programs is one roadblock, and she thinks states need to invest more in social safety nets.
You can invest in healthcare, you can invest in community services to keep people out of the criminal justice system.
The report also touches on racial disparities. For example, in Minnesota and neighboring states, Native American women are significantly overrepresented in prisons. Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for this story. An event at Minnesota North College Itasca will highlight banned books next week as part of Banned Books Week. The American Library Association and Amnesty International declared the week at, quote, a time when free speech and free expression seem more directly under fire than ever. The liberal arts faculty on the Itasca campus in Grand Rapids will host an open reading for faculty, students, and community members. Participants can share passages from books they cherish that have been banned, censored, or removed from libraries and school curriculums. The free event will take place at 7 p.m. Monday in the McMahon Student Center. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
It is the Friday morning show that's local news with the Up North Report, and it's 7:06. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. We're moving along on this hot kind of a day. We're expecting temperatures to get, once again, on this October 3rd, mid-80s. And it's hard as I age. Sometimes you don't know the date, right? Or what month you're in.
Yes.
But right now is just unbelievable because I'm still thinking it's mid-September.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm writing stuff up. I was looking at things this morning, prepping, and I was like, okay, this is going on throughout the month. And then I delete them all because guess what? It's not September.
That month is October.
I know. We've been taking more stories, and we love hearing this. We heard from Finn Billy from Smoky Hills. He said, I remember in 1967, I was 10 years old, and my father would send me to the dairy store, which was a few blocks away in South Minneapolis. I would buy him 2 6-packs of Ham's beer and a carton of Camel Straights and bring them home. Later that year, they gave me my first job, which was to sweep the floor and mop the floor, bringing in the newspapers, stack them for sale, flatten cardboard boxes, and price goods with the sticker stamper. I was paid cash, of course. And Brenda says, I almost spit out my coffee with John's remark. Cigarette ashes in his jeans pant cuff reminds me of Sunday spent at my great grandma King's when I was very young. My dad smoked, so that's where the ashes
went.
Yes, I didn't know people actually did that.
Denim jeans usually, you know, because they wouldn't light on fire. You know, there's another, and I love this. So another thing, and specifically with my dad, but I think it was very common that men sat in the car.
Yeah.
And the wife got the groceries.
Yep. Yep. My mom, you know, my dad, like later in life, my dad enjoyed grocery shopping, but my mom didn't want him to come with because he'd buy all the junk, just fill up the cart, you know, with all this stuff. So we love hearing from you. You can text us 218-326-1234. Coming up, we've got some music. We'll also be bringing you the latest installment of StoryCorps.
We received support this morning from I Am Hotel in Grand Rapids, providing amenities like their large parking lot suitable for trailers and boats and offering fresh baked breakfast items each day. Additional information available at iamhoteltimberlake.com.
You can buy a house, but you can't buy a home. You can be surrounded and still be alone. Oh, Lord. You can be living the life, but not living the dream. Mama said, boy, don't you be no dummy. Everybody chasing that big, big money.
Big money!
Might have got a horse, don't mean you can ride on a horse. You might have got a plane, but that don't make you fly. Oh, Lord. You can be living the life, but not living the dream. It seems. Grandma
is new music there from John Batiste.
Don't mean you can sing.
Oh, we are so good.
Love it.
And still lose everything. Ha! Whoa! Mama said, boy, don't you be no dummy. Everybody chasing that big, big money. Don't be a knucklehead, a bobblehead dummy. Everybody chasing that big, big money. Woo!
Might as well live for something you can feel. Might as well live for something real. Might as well live for something you can feel. Might as well live for something real.
There we go. That's John Batiste, the new song called Money. So much fun to watch him. That's one of those feel good things, not just the song, but watching him dance. There's like some videos of his new song, and he's amazing.
He's a special talent.
Yeah.
Seems like a special person too.
Coming up in this hour, we'll also be featuring our album of the week. It's by Nico Case. Want to thank folks for continuing to support KAXE. And I'm laughing because I just heard from my brother. My dad loved Cheese Whiz.
Oh.
And when I was talking about putting junk in the cart, and he said, it's not junk. Yes, it is. Cheese Whiz is cheese that was, is how I described it.
Oh, that's beautiful. I wonder if anybody's ever opened the cap and shot it in their mouth during it. And then
you
put
wonder
the cap back.
Every person who's ever bought it has
really?
Done that. Are you kidding me?
I mean, in the store.
Oh, in the store.
No,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We just heard from Dennis from Eveleth. He says, I grew up in Orr, Minnesota, on a resort. I used to get to go to town with my mom to the IGA. I thought it was great. The Isles and I used to bring pop bottles to get money.
Mm-hmm.
Yahoo, y'all. Have a great day. Enjoy. Thanks, Dennis. Thanks, Finn Billy. Thanks, Brenda. Love hearing from you. We also heard from Bob, who said, supermarkets sometimes use carbon monoxide to keep meat red. You had mentioned that your parents were disappointed when they cracked open the red to see the brown.
Still happens today. Still happens
carbon
today.
Monoxide. Okay.
I want to thank Oak Hill Assisted Living in Grand Rapids, providing personalized care in a home setting. More information at oakhillseniors.com. If you're just waking up and wondering what the day is going to be like, it's going to be hot. Highs 81 to 85 this morning or today. East winds 5 to 15, 60s tonight, and then Saturday, again, upper 80s.
It's Friday, which is when we hear from StoryCorps. Mark Gaskin worked on the roads of Colorado as a traffic controller, sort of like an air traffic controller, except you're overseeing the highways of Colorado. After being injured on the job, he was unable to work and eventually lost his home. Today, Mark lives out of his car, parked outside the apartment where his elderly aunt lives. Mark is her main caretaker, and he told his sister, Deborah Io, how he became the person his aunt needed most.
In July of last year, her account had gotten hacked.
I remember.
I didn't find out until her rent was due that she had $12 in her account. I went to the office when she got her first notice of eviction, and I told them, I said, there's no way my aunt's going to live on the streets. And handed over my debit card. I don't have extra money, but without hesitation, I paid her rent. I didn't want my aunt, this 81-year-old woman, trying to live the way I was living my life, sleeping in my car, having to go to rec centers to shower, going to food banks to eat.
In reality, as a homeless person, you helped Auntie not to be homeless.
I'm glad I was able to show her that our relationship goes beyond finances. It's just love. Cleaning up the house, doing laundry, taking her shopping. Even if she doesn't want to buy anything, but she just wants to get out of the house, that's what I do. And she's always asking, well, does it bother me? I told her, I says, no. I says, this is what I'm here for.
Where do you think we learned how to take care of our elders?
Growing up, I remember mom, she doesn't have a car. She has 9 kids. Her parents lived 5 miles away. So in order for her to take care of her parents, she had to pack us up, walk the 5 miles to go visit them, take care of their everyday needs. And then we'd have to walk back. You know, it's tough right now because my situation living out of my car, but it doesn't change my duty as a member of this family.
I can truly say that I am so pleased with the way you have taken care of Auntie. should anything happen today and she passes, when you lay your head down at night, you've done all that you can do. You did your best with what was given to you.
Before, you know, I was doing so good. I had a great job, had a two-bedroom house, my own private yard. Now, all that's gone. But I'm okay with that because the joy that I get from knowing that Auntie's taken care of, it's worth it for me.
Mark Gaskin and his sister Deborah Ayle. Their interview is archived at the Library of Congress.
Major support for StoryCorps comes from Subaru. Subaru has donated more than $70 million to support the adoption, rescue, transport, and health of over 700,000 animals. Learn more at subaru.com/pets. And from Dignity Memorial. For many families, remembering loved ones means honoring the details that made them unique. Dignity Memorial is dedicated to compassion in every detail of a life celebration. DignityMemorial.com.
This is NPR News.
Morning Edition here on People Powered KAXE. Back in the day when KAXE actually went on the air, they hadn't convinced the federal government to support them yet, John.
Mm-hmm.
That's John Bauer. I'm Heidi Holton. So for the first year, we operated without federal funding. But today, almost 50 years later, we find ourselves in that same position. It's a powerful reminder that the station has always been people-powered, and today the need is even greater. So folks have been continuing to weigh in and to support us so that we keep bringing you stories of your friends and neighbors, great music you're not going to get anywhere else. We cannot thank you enough. We heard from someone yesterday, Heather from Minneapolis, who sent something in to us. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You can do it anytime. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
Like fashion, who would think that something would circle back 50 years later? Same problem.
Warm today. That is the theme. Patchy dense fog until 10 a.m.-ish and partly sunny with highs 81 to 85. East winds 5 to 15. Partly cloudy overnight. Temperatures in the mid to upper 60s. Breezy southeast winds up to 20 miles an hour. And mostly sunny with highs in the mid to upper 80s tomorrow.
Some music going on. We have Homestock at the Home Farm in Eddy Township at noon, and Eli Gardner at the Jack Pine Brewery in Nisswa. That starts at 6 o'clock. I want to thank the Grand Rapids Area Community Foundation, playing a vital role in connecting charitable intentions with community needs, awarding $30 million in grants and scholarships over the past 30 years to make a lasting impact in our area. More information at gracf.org.
Local news coming up next. And before 8 o'clock, we'll be talking breakfast, and we'll also be talking soccer. This is the Friday Morning Show.
Sleepless and empty, work your fingers to the bone. That's the wrong kind of smile. So many troubles, could we leave them back?
It is time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger, editor and publisher of the Timberjay newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, thanks for being with us.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, we've got some news for today. There's about the pending sale, possible sale of Minnesota Power. What do you know?
Well, the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission is supposed to decide on that after about a year of hearings and testimony before administrative law judges. You know, it's quite a process, and the PUC does have to approve any sale of a private utility like Minnesota Power. And really, it's actually the acquisition of ALLETE, which is the parent company of Minnesota Power, and we have two companies or two venture capital type firms, investment firms, Global Infrastructure Partners, and that's a subsidiary of BlackRock, and then also the Canada Pension Plan Investment Board. And these two entities have decided they want to purchase Elite and then Minnesota Power as part of that. And of course, Minnesota Power provides electricity to about 150,000 customers, you know, up in our region. So it's a major power supplier. Also, it provides power to the large industrial users up here, taconite plants and, you know, wood products plants. And, the large power users have been among a number of groups that have been opposed to this, mostly out of concern that, you know, these venture capital firms and investment firms are, you know, looking primarily at, you know, increasing profit margins and things like that, and that that's going to mean higher rates. So that's been one of the biggest concerns in this. And it's not just, you know, power users. It's also a concern of some state officials. I mean, the Attorney General's office was opposed to this. The ALJ, the administrative law judge, who went through all the details of this proposal, also came out against it as contrary to the public interest. But these firms and Elite have made some concessions over, you know, the past few months. And during a meeting last week, and this was the final public hearing that the PUC held before today's decision, the Minnesota Power said that they offered that they would provide customers with $50 million in bill credits by 2032, and then the company would not charge ratepayers for any acquisition costs for 5 years, and it would agree to a one-year rate freeze. So that was meant to try to, you know, sweeten the pot, I guess, a little bit. And it certainly sounded like, you know, some members of the Public Utilities Commission, you know, are viewing this proposal a little more favorably than before. They made some comments to that effect. So we'll see what happens, you know, today. There's certainly been lots of public input on this. In fact, the Public Utilities Commission has received nearly 500 public comments and overwhelmingly calling on them to reject the proposal. So we'll see what happens. I mean, this is, you know, what's happening kind of nationally, really, is there's a push by a lot of these private equity firms to purchase essential infrastructure nationwide. And this is kind of part of that. And we'll see if the Public Utilities Commission goes along.
All right, let's move on to another story you've been covering, the Timberjay. There is a joint public health effort called Speaking of Cannabis. What is it, and what do they want people to find out about in terms of cannabis?
Well, it's a joint effort actually by three or four Minnesota counties up in our region. It includes St. Louis, Lake, Cook, and Carlton County, and it's an effort to help inform adults mostly, and to provide them with information to help, especially adults with children, to help them have productive conversations within their families about cannabis use. And it, and the initiative is called Speaking of Cannabis, and it involves these four counties as well as the Fond du Lac Band of Chippewa. So, you know, there's a lot of involvement in this, and they're trying to basically spell out some key points. And that's, I think their biggest concern, is that, young children can get a hold of cannabis now, and are, you know, especially because there's, types of cannabis that are edibles. And in many cases, they can look like candy. You know, some of them, sometimes it comes in these gummies. And, you know, kids can, you know, inadvertently, if they have access to this, they can inadvertently take this, and it can have, you know, pretty significant consequences on their young brains. And so there's definitely a push to make that the importance of proper storage of this stuff is a key part of that initiative. And they also want parents to have the tools to talk with their older kids about cannabis and, you know, its impact on their brain development. I mean, that's one thing that we know from research is that up to about age 25, cannabis can have a significant impact on, you know, brain development in terms of things like memory and just cognitive ability. So it's definitely something that, you know, younger people should avoid. And that's part of what they're trying to get across through this initiative. You know, they said they're not trying to be judgmental at all. They want to have parents be able to have, you know, friendly but useful conversations with their kids to help address this the situation. And so people can expect to see some of these messages appearing online in public spaces around northeastern Minnesota here in the next few months. And if they're interested in getting more information or seeing some of the brochures that are being put out by the group, they can go to www.speakingofcannabis.org. So folks might want to check that out.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of cannabis that's being sold is also new, and probably some education is being needed about, you know, if it's as potent as it used to be, or if it's, you know, all of those sorts of things too, I think.
Yes, actually that's a good point, because that's one of the other things they're emphasizing to adults is that they should be aware that, you know, the stuff that they might remember from back in the 70s, that was pretty weak compared to what they have these days. So, you know, people can get themselves in trouble, I think, if they're not aware of that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's move on to another story. This is a new helicopter that is going to be used or is being used for rescues. Now, there's been helicopters before, but this is something different.
Yes, it's a twin-engine Bell 429 helicopter. And this was purchased recently by the State Patrol with a allocation from the legislature. And it goes by the name Trooper 7. That's how they refer to this craft. And it's a big technological leap forward. It has lots of new technology on here. It's also the twin engine. The previous rescue helicopter they had was just a single engine. And, you know, that meant if the engine went out, they had to land immediately. And whereas this new one now with the twin engine, it's much safer. If they have an engine problem, you know, they can still get to an airport and land in a much more controlled situation. But one of the most important features of the new helicopter is a side-mounted hoist system, which is capable of lifting up to 600 pounds. And that allows rescuers to lift victims directly into the cabin of the helicopter without having to land, which is what they had to do previously. So they had not only, you know, I mean, they had to, and this was a problem if you were doing rescues in forested areas, which they have been doing with this helicopter. You know, if you're in the Boundary Waters or in Voyageurs National Park or many parts of northern Minnesota, you know, it made it hard to land a helicopter. You need an open area. So with this new one, though, they can just hover over a victim and they can lower a rescuer on a cable, and they can strap that person onto that rescuer and just haul them right into the cab of the helicopter and take off to wherever they need to go. That's a big step forward. In the past, they would have to land and then rig up a way to haul the victim in up, and then they couldn't actually bring them into the cabin. They had to transport them suspended on a cable until they could get to some, you know, other location. They called them like little short haul lifts to get them to a different situation, either a boat or, you know, a helicopter somewhere else. But anyway, you know, now they can, the way they do it now is much more efficient with this new rig. And they've already used it up in our area at least a couple of times. They had a rescue in August out of Voyageurs National Park. They had a woman with a health emergency, and they were able to get her up and out of there into the International Falls Hospital, very quickly. And they also used it last month in the Boundary Waters to rescue an individual who'd been injured in a remote part of the wilderness. So it's already proven to be a very effective tool to help with rescues. And one thing that the State Patrol is really emphasizing is that, you know, this is just a tool to work with local organizations. They talked about, the St. Louis County Rescue Squad, which was involved in both of these recent rescues. They really lauded that rescue squad up here. It's a really well-funded, well-organized rescue squad. They do a tremendous amount, and they're really excited about having this new helicopter to help them with these rescues. It's really going to make a difference.
Yeah, and at rural places like this, how great. I mean, the way you described the previous way that you had to get people out sounds like an episode of MASH, for crying out loud.
Really?
Well, what about the colors? How are you? How's it looking up where you are?
It's looking really good. Okay. I had been thinking it was, just a few days ago, actually, it was still a little bit drab because the early maples had all dropped their leaves. And then the aspen hadn't quite come on. But just in the last, I would say, 2-3 days, the aspen had really turned. And so now they're pretty close to peak, I'd say. And then we still have a few of the late turning maples, just to give you a little bit of, a little orange and an occasional red, mixed in with the gold of the aspen and birch. So, I would say right now we're kind of at a second peak, it looks really good. But the problem is, of course, it's only going to last probably a week or so. Typically by the middle of October, the leaves are pretty much all down here. So, got to get out and enjoy the colors while they last.
Marshall, we don't need to talk about it much, but I do want to note that your son, who is now a doctor, has a story about science in that people can check out at timberjay.com or in the new paper. It's called Trump RFK Claims on Tylenol Make a Mockery of Science by Dr. Maxwell Helmberger. Holy cow.
He called me the other day and he was all upset about that. And I said, Max, why don't you put it in a commentary?
Yeah.
Send it to us. And so he did.
Yeah. I still remember seeing him as a kid, the two of you playing Wii together.
Yep. Yep.
Check it out at timberjay.com. Marshall, thanks for your time. We'll check in next week.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.
Yep. Music there by St. Paul and the Broken Bones. The name of the song is Sushi and Coca-Cola. You're listening to the Friday Morning Show at 7:35. Coming up, Best Wishes, our Daily Nature note from John Latimer, and then What's for Breakfast. We've got a few more texts coming in, John Bauer.
Yeah.
Are you ready for them?
I'm ready.
Rick texted in. He said, good morning. I grew up in Aurora. Our grocery store was Potachnik's. I remember riding in the cart. We stopped at the meat counter and the butcher would give me a homemade hot dog to eat on the spot. And it was cold. I can remember the snap of fresh casing when I bit into it. And Lisa also texted in. Hi, Lisa. She said, we had the red owl in my little hometown. It was in half of the oldest building in the town, sharing the main floor with Hardware Hank. It had creaky old wood floors and only three narrow aisles. Both stores were closed on Sundays. The Forever staff consisted of Mrs. Donner, Mrs. Parker, Mrs. Thran, and Mrs. Stibbe. She was the owner. Mrs. Stibbe maintained the equipment. The ladies did all the butchering, too, cut to order, even processing deer for hunters in the fall. The meat counter was well-stocked, but fresh vegetables were few.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Lisa. Wow. This is bringing out evocative memories from folks.
It's powerful. Some of those old things, just you can't let them go. We would like to thank the Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital, home to an experienced OBGYN team, providing comprehensive women's health services, including maternity and advanced gynecology care, all in Grand Rapids. Learn more at granditasca.org. And Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. More at hottubsmn.com.
Our support today also comes from Grand Rapids Players. They have the Great Gatsby still going on through October 5th at the Rife in Grand Rapids, celebrating the 100th anniversary since its original publishing. Friday, Saturday shows 7 and Sundays at 2. Tickets available at grplayers.com. Patchy, dense fog could still be holding out there with partly sunny skies, highs 80 to 85, partly cloudy overnight, temperatures in the mid to upper 60s, breezy southeast winds up to 20, and tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 80s.
Is it time?
It is.
Time for best wishes when we do our very, very best to get your birthday and anniversary correct. And for today, Sheila and Michael Small are celebrating their 38th anniversary. And the gem is Beryl, B-E-R-Y-L.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Charlie Parson, 79 years young from Poposky.
Hi, Charlie.
Jeff Sipper from somewhere is having a birthday today. Becky Wint is 49 from Deer River. Kayla Jenkins, 19 from Grand Rapids. Jack Hodgson is 84 years young from Tulsa via Deer Lake. And Ron Kravick is 78 from Deerwood.
For tomorrow, October 4th, Sally and Dave Hagman celebrate their 45th wedding anniversary from Grand Rapids. And Mike and Karen Forbes, 22 years of marriage from Bemidji. This is new music now from Brandy Carlisle.
Is there some freewheeling watcher shooting marbles in the sky, holding your ears between their fingers, watching it burn till the fire dies? Why is it heroic to untether? How is alone some holy grail? And if we really come and go unknown, couldn't I find myself in jail? Oh, keeper, a lonely thing to do, but it's the only thing to do. Is it evolving, turning inward? The great and mighty me. Let me break myself apart instead and scatter to my birds like a burial at sea, to be the gospel without words. such a lonely thing to do, but it's the only thing to do. There's no honor in the pilgrimage until a soul returns to hold another's hand, and then, and only then, it learns that life is like a stone, only skipping for a time. It'll never see the other side. And I was born to love you. I love you and you and you. Oh, returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. Returning to myself is just returning me. The only thing I want to do.
Brandi Carlile there. 7:42, brand new music from her, Returning to Myself. It's Friday morning here on People Powered, KAXE. It's Friday morning where you are too, not just here.
So when I listen to Brandi Carlile, she's so outstanding. And I just wonder about the pressures of having to always keep cranking out songs.
Yeah.
You know, good songs.
And she's doing so much of like, working with other artists, supporting other artists, touring all the time. It seems like she and her wife, I think, own run a winery where they live. I mean, this woman is busy. Yeah.
So when does she have time to write songs? Maybe late at night or something.
So John, before we'll talk about it, I'm sure, a little bit, WNBA, because it's not just sports news. It is in the news, what's happened since the last time we were sitting here together. Did you watch the game last Friday night? Did you get to see it live? What happened to the coach or what she did?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, have you ever seen that before in sports?
Yeah. Coach like that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Attack, almost attack.
Well,
referee.
Yeah.
Need four players to hold her back.
I can't say I've ever seen women do that, but I've seen men do that. They just, because they're so engrossed in the game and they're,
yeah,
they want to protect their team and blah, blah, blah. And refs drive people insane. And I know I read an article about her looking back and she says she has no regrets.
I know.
Looking back. That's who she is and she shouldn't be anything different.
Yep. And I've been watching, you know, some commentaries on it. And after the press conference when they got back to town on Tuesday, or they were back in town Sunday, I suppose, but Nafisha's, what she said and how people are talking about this. Now all the players, most of the players are backing her up in what she said. And so,
have you heard of anybody that's not backing her up?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, not at all. some maybe haven't been vocal. People are kind of waiting to see how Caitlin Clark weighed in, and she just did. She
said she's, I missed that,
on Fee's side. She's like, Fee's right. I respect her tremendously. And one of the things Nafisha Collier said in the press conference was that she had had this conversation with the WNBA commissioner about yearly salaries and especially rookie players coming in that make, you know, like the hottest players ever making $80,000
a year. They should be so thankful.
Yeah. And so that, then they also asked Caitlin, like, did you know that the commissioner had said that to Fee? And she said, no, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But with not any malice, you know, that it was, because that was a controversy whipping up too. It was like, how dare Nafisha say that without checking with them? It's like, well, it's not like she's saying what they said. She's saying what the commissioner had to say. It was totally relevant.
I was shocked that, I mean, she had to miss the game. And what did the coach get fined, Reeves?
15,000, yeah.
Okay, in the NBA, because salaries are different, the NBA would be $1 million. But that's just the way it is. Things are going to change. I think the commissioners are going to be out. I think the commissioner is going to be canned.
I don't think there's any way she can stick around. I just don't. And it's really, you know, as a fan of the Lynx and the other teams as well in WNBA, it's really such an interesting time to be watching, to see this, how empowered they are to kind of take control of their own careers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, I didn't realize one thing that sort of bothered me was that, you know, because the Unrivaled is going to be coming up starting in January, and they're going to be in different locations. They've announced so far they'll be in Philly for part of those. That's the 3-on-3 basketball league that is player owned. Nafisha Collier and Brianna Stewart started this. And
she won't be playing, I don't think, for a while.
Yeah, probably not. Although it was just it wasn't a break.
No, but a lot of ligament damage.
Yeah. So on the other, she said it was exactly the same as the other one on her other ankle.
Hmm.
So anyway, there are stipulations on how much they can make in the off season or something.
What?
In their contract, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I saw somewhere that Caitlin Clark's making $60 million with endorsements.
Yes, but I mean, if they play in Unrivaled, there's something in their contracts Unrivaled, or I don't know. They probably can't do anything about their overseas play. I don't know, but anyway, we'll talk more about it and all kinds of sports, including soccer. That'll be coming up in a little bit. But right now, here's John Latimer, our daily dose of phonology, and then we'll have some breakfast.
On today's date, October 3rd, 1985, common blackberries began to show some color. Blackberries are a magnificent plant to study in the fall because they carry some of the most beautiful colors that you can imagine. They go from green to orange to red to a very deep, deep burgundy, and they keep those leaves on for quite a while, long after all the other leaves are off. You will still continue to see the beautiful leaves of the common blackberry. I would highly recommend that if you have blackberries, if you've been picking blackberries this summer and you have blackberries that you know the location of, you should probably take the time here in October to get out and give them a good looking over.
If you're tall, it don't matter if you're small, it don't matter if you're blue or green or any shape at all, 'cause I'll be yours and you'll be mine to last, and we'll be friends holding fast. You don't have to be smart, you don't have to play a part. What better thing could ever be?
It is time for What's for Breakfast on the Friday Morning Show, where we pull up a chair to one of our members' kitchen tables, get to know them a little bit better. Coaches is our theme for the morning. We've got our development director, Chris Walker, joining us. And we've got Dan Gannon, our volunteer coordinator. He's live from the KBXC studios. Guys, welcome.
Good morning.
So what? Dan, what'd you have for breakfast? This is what it's all about. What'd you have this morning?
Oh, Dan, are you with us?
Check. You guys hear me?
Yes. We hear you.
What'd you have for breakfast this morning, Dan?
He's not hearing us. So, Chris, let's start with you.
All right, no problem. I had a toasted croissant with avocado, egg, everything bagel seasoning on it, and some hot sauce. And every morning, I shouldn't say every single morning because it depends on what the condition of them are or if we have any available. But I think every single morning for pretty much the past 39 years of my life, I have a banana in the morning. That stems, if we're talking soccer here, it stems from my dad, who would always tell me to eat a banana before soccer practice, soccer games, because of the potassium. So that's a staple in our household.
Oh, my gosh. That's and good.
Dan, can you hear us now?
I think so. You hear me?
Yes. Yeah. What about your breakfast?
Well, so far my breakfast has been a cup of coffee, which was lovely. But as soon as I left the house, my sweetie was making me, she called it a parfait, but it's like muesli and yogurt and strawberries and dates, I guess. I knew. Yeah, Bauer, I knew you'd crack
muesli.
Up.
I don't even know what muesli is. I really don't know what muesli. What is it?
That's a good question. Heidi, can you explain muesli?
It's a kind of a granola in some ways, but not really. But it's some grains maybe or seeds. I don't know.
I think it's like in between raw oatmeal and granola.
Right. And then, probably not crispy, right?
No, but, not crunchy and crispy. It's a little more on the chewy side.
Okay. And Dan, did you say a date?
Yeah, dates.
And just pummeled, ground up, or?
Well, she's very artistic, so she lays it out in this kind of layered way, so it does look like a parfait that you would have, like, ice cream and stuff in.
Wow.
So it's really beautiful, but then, of course, as soon as it gets in my hands, I'm just mash it all together. And
what's with pummeled? I don't know what you said. Is it the date pummeled?
Pummeled is a good word, yeah.
But I'm not with dates. I don't know.
Well, here's the deal. I can't imagine a chunky date. You'd have to just powder it. That's what I meant.
Or cut it up, at least. I don't know that you'd have to powder it. But anyway.
I mean, I'm big on breakfast, but pummeling my breakfast, I've never thought about it.
Oh, boy. Wrong choice of words.
So this is all about competition. We got the coaches here. John, who won in the breakfast wars?
I'm staying quiet.
Oh, okay.
They're both magnificent in their own way.
Oh, all right. Well,
I'm happy to concede because Dan's breakfast did sound pretty phenomenal.
No, yours sounds
good. Yeah, don't beat yourself up. Yours was outstanding. Although the banana chaser is a little different, but that's okay.
I'm happy to accept Chris's concession.
Of course you are.
I will say I pummeled my breakfast and how fast I ate it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
Okay, this is going to be the catch verb of the day, I think.
Yes.
So, you guys, we called you in here for breakfast because you've got a lot in common when it comes to soccer. Kind of explain your roles, and then let's get into it, where we're at in the seasons.
Chris, you can go first.
Very kind of you, Dan. Thank you. I was waiting for you. But
it's a
love
fest.
When it comes to girls' high school soccer, I'm the goalie coach and assistant coach for Grand Rapids High School girls' soccer team. And last night was their final regular season game of the year and their final home game and senior night. And actually, I shouldn't even say their final home game because they do have a section home game, but it was a big deal for senior night. We have 9 seniors on our team this year. So the ceremony at halftime, which I have thoughts on, Dan, I'm curious to pick your brain about that. But the ceremony at halftime seemed, of course, much longer than usual. Very emotional. Just an incredible senior class that has been a great example for the rest of the team and the young players in our wonderful town here. And we played Duluth Denfeld, and it was a roller coaster of a game that ended in a 2-2 draw, but it was really great to see our girls come back down twice from being a goal down, against adversity. And I think each team had a chance to win it, and it was a critical game because the winner would take the number 2 seed in the section. Because it was a tie, Denfeld held a tiebreaker over us, so they are the number 2 seed, and we are the 3 seed. But really nice goals, a cracker of a goal by Leanna Johnson, our defender, who just fired it from miles out and put it in the top of the net. And then a senior, junior, Quinn Cargill, with the second goal.
Nice.
Boy, when the defenders get to crack one from long ways out and score, that's a pretty magical moments for those kids.
Yeah, that was our biggest celebration of the year after a goal, no doubt, especially with defenders not knowing for scoring goals, and I think that was Liam's first goal. I feel like that was her first goal of the year, but it was a great goal to get us back in the game.
So, Chris, and when you talk about a long goal, I've been seeing a lot on TV when people will score a shot on a goalie that goes over their head, Is that what you were talking about, or just a nice tight bullet over the shoulder or something?
Yeah, this one was from about 30 yards out, I want to say. It was on the far side of the field, so I didn't have the exact measurements of it. But I'd say 30 yards out and, again, placed perfectly just under the crossbar, which as a goalie, yeah, it can be tough to make those saves. You want to try to just tip it up over the net, but when it's perfectly placed like it was last night off Leanna's foot, then there's not much you can do about that.
Okay.
She's going to remember that the rest of her life. That's fantastic. Dan, how about you? What's your role? What's happening right now?
So this is my first year as assistant varsity coach, which is super exciting. 25 years ago, I started out coaching park and rec soccer on the south side of Minneapolis. And so to be up at the varsity level is just thrilling for me personally. And we, the Bemidji girls high school team, is very, very good this year. Our record is, I think we're 10-4-1. We have one tie, four losses, 10 wins. And our final game is tomorrow. We have the pleasure of driving all the way down to Rogers, Minnesota. And you can just Google that on your maps right now to find out how far away from Bemidji that is, but we'll be gone from 8 something in the morning till 6 or 7 at night tomorrow, and that's I'm sure it's somewhat similar for Grand Rapids, but that's the lot of being a high school soccer team in northern Minnesota, is you get to go far places to play teams. So tomorrow will be our final game. We did have our senior night the other night against Crookston. It was super fun. I think we have 10 seniors. So, yeah, Chris, it went on quite a bit. And we also had a defender crack one from about 35 yards out and score. But it was not a close game at all, but still just as fun. So for us, we're Grand Rapids is at the 2A level, and we're at the bigger school 3A level. And it's tough going for us ever since we got bumped up to that level. We're playing teams that are competing against the YZetas and Edinas of the world. And a lot of our main competition is coming from that area between St. Cloud and Minneapolis. So the travel we have to do can be pretty exhausting. It's long days for the kids.
Hey, how are numbers with both of your organizations? Are they on the rise? Are they tapering?
For us, I would say it's on the rise. We consistently have, I would say, let's see, 20 in varsity, around 50 kids every season.
Wow, Chris?
Yeah, Grand Rapids numbers have just kind of, I would say as an organization, obviously high school sports, I think, are examples of, you know, how strong your youth organization is as well. Like, they go hand in hand. It's a pipeline, right? So I got involved with Grand Rapids Area Soccer Club when my girls started playing soccer. They're now 9-7. Before I joined in, I think, 2022, pre-COVID, I was told that we didn't have enough girls to field one single team if you combine all the age levels, is what I've heard. And so, but since I've been part of it, we have at least one girls team at every level, all the way down to U10. So the numbers are great.
Wow.
Hey, that's
Chris,
awesome.
I got to ask you a question, Chris, about coaching. So when you coach goalies, you know, you're teaching all these fundamental things, angles, things like that. But what happens in game? Do you guys do a lot of scouting that say, like, I don't know what your goalie's name is, but Sally, this person likes to hit it low, or watch out for this because they use a certain type of offense. How does in-game coaching happen?
Yeah, you try to do a little bit of research before the game on who the star players are, whether they're right-footed, left-footed. You make sure you don't, you know, not just the goalies, but you talk to the defenders as well and make sure them and the goalies are on the same page. In-game, you really want your goalie to control the defense, tell them where to be because they have a better view of everyone, a better view than anyone else on the field. So we talk about it, you know, before the game, and then even in warmups, you watch the other team, you can tell who some of the better players are, and you just tell the goalie. You almost kind of, like we talked about with the goals that happened in both our games last night, that sometimes the shot